Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Living Nutrition is the podcast you're tuning into today, where we feed you with the nourishment of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter show, so thick skin is required, but keep an open mind, and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? I am excited to share the Word of God with you today, but always remember, everything that I share is rooted in the Word of God. Right? Because at the end of the day, my opinion is irrelevant. I always back it with scripture so you can check it out for yourself to see if what I'm telling you is accurate. So let's get on to today's show. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about in this new year, Happy New Year to those out there listening. This is 2016. And I want to kick off 2016 by first saying thank you to all of those who are out there listening to me from 2015. You know, it's truly humbling that anybody wants to listen to anything that I have to say. But the fact that I watch the numbers and look at how I am reaching out to those all over the world, it just blows my mind, because the numbers are not important. The fact that you're reaching out to those who want to know about the gospel, who want to know about this man called Jesus Christ, right? And what can we do to enhance that? And even my brothers and sisters in Christ who just want to get fed for the day. So let's get started. Oh, I also want to give a special shout out to all my brothers and sisters in Asia. You know, I know you guys are going through a lot of persecution, but when I saw some of the shows being podcasted out in that area, part of the world, I know what the struggle is, and I know that's probably why you're listening to the show, to get an opportunity on the internet, or, you know, to have an opportunity to talk about Christ or listen to someone talk about Christ. So welcome if you're listening today. Now, in the New Year's resolution worth keeping, right? One of the things I wanted to talk about is every year we always talk about my New Year resolution is this or that. You know, it could be losing weight, it could be working out more, it could be more friendly. But in my case, right, it's definitely more friendly, because sometimes I can be I have a very strong personality, and I think that's what comes off when I preach the gospel, because I just think this is just so serious. And sometimes it's funny how God can use your personality, which can be used for good, right? And put my personality in a box and present it to people in the street, and that's where a lot of my compassion comes from, is from the personality that I have. But sometimes it can also come off as standoffish, right? And a lot of times it's not that I'm not friendly, it's just that I pick and choose who my friends are, right? So in 2016, you can't miss out on this great opportunity. You might be sitting and say, okay, Dwayne, get to the point. What is the New Year's resolution worth keeping? Well, it's taking the gospel to the streets. Silence. See, it's going out and sharing your faith with those you meet. You know, let me start off by welcoming you, because if this is not something new, right? But a lot of us don't always look at outreach as an opportunity to be the spokesman for Jesus Christ. So first, let me welcome you to what might be the most exciting thing you ever do, and that's helping reach those out there for Jesus Christ. Put yourself in this position. I am requesting the opportunity to discuss with you today, Christian to Christian, the reason why every church should have a house-to-house ministry or street ministry, right? Or what's the point of this Christian stuff that we do? If we're not about going out and reaching out to the lost, if our whole point is not about going out and reaching those who may be in need, then what's the point? Because at the end of the day, everyone needs Jesus, regardless if they're a Christian or not. Because it's not about whether or not a person's going to church, right, or not going to church. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many of us sometimes forget that when we walk around with our Christian food and our Christian friends, when we go to church every Sunday, and we totally isolate ourselves from the rest of the world, and we do that by not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we meet. At the end of the day, more than 80%, church, 80% of the current growth registered by churches are biological or transfer growth. So what does that mean? That means either people are getting married or having children and it's growing that way, or people are just transferring from church to church. Oh, I don't like this church because they did this or that, or I don't like the fact that the pastor said this, or they didn't agree with me when everybody decided to change the carpet on the floor. It gets ridiculous, but it's true. You get transfer growth, and people are just church hopping. Very little of this growth comes from penetrating the ranks of the non-believer. As we know, many Christians do not discuss their faith with strangers a lot of times due to the fear of rejection. See, most of that fear comes from not being prepared for what to say in the initial approach. How many people are dying without knowing God because we, the body, refuse to share our faith with complete strangers? I mean, isn't that what the disciples did when Jesus sent them out by two? They didn't just sit around the Mount of Olives or stood around and just waited for people to come to them. No, they went looking for people. See, if sincere men and women network together and dedicated to proclaiming a balanced biblical message with Jesus Christ as the foundation, how could you go wrong? Because this is not about denominational baggage or rules, right? This is just about Jesus. And if you go out and make a decision that I'm just going to preach Jesus, I'm not going to talk about denominations. Heck, I might not even talk about my church. When I go out in service, sometimes I'll just be driving. And at times I might just stop and decide, you know what, the Holy Spirit puts it on me to get out the car and start walking the streets in the neighborhood, and I don't know why. I just do it because I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to do so. And in this one specific time, I remember stopping, and I always tell this story because this story, I say it over and over again, and those of you who have heard it before, I apologize, but for those who haven't heard it, sometimes the Holy Spirit tells you to do things, and you might think you know the answer to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you to do. And the Holy Spirit might say, okay, you keep thinking that, but you just keep coming along with me because I want you to get to what I want you to do. And I remember one time I was driving, and I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to get out the car, so I parked, and I jumped out in this neighborhood. I grabbed my Bible, and I started walking. And as I was walking, I noticed there was some gentlemen down at the end of the street. And I said to myself, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, give me the words to say, give me the wisdom. I'm praying in my mind as I'm walking towards these gentlemen. And as I get halfway up, you know, I had it all ready, what I was going to say and how I was going to approach them. And as I got down there with my script, they got in the car and drove off when I was about 30 feet from them. And I thought to myself, man, I really felt the Holy Spirit telling me to come down here. I don't understand why did they leave? And then I turn and look to my right, and it's these three young men sitting on the stoop. One of them with a blunt in his hand, and if you don't know what a blunt is, that's rolled up marijuana in a cigarette leaf. And I'm watching him, and I look, and they see me, and they're looking at me. And I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, I get it. Yeah, he did want me to get out. He did want me to walk down that block, but not for what I thought. And as I'm preparing this script in my mind, it goes back to the Holy Spirit saying, no, you rely on what I'm going to tell you. Don't lean on your understanding. Lean on the whole understanding of the Holy Spirit. And as I approached these gentlemen and I started sharing the scriptures, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started putting these things in my mind about things I'd done when I was a child and how it ties to what they might be doing today and how I found Christ by somebody speaking to me. See, I never found the Lord in a church. There was not a pastor that came to me to talk to me about Christ. See, the reason why I am so passionate about what I do today is because someone took the opportunity to sit with me at a lunch table and share the gospel. people say, well, if a person is interested in church, they'll just go. No, they won't. Because even though I was interested, I didn't grow up in church, so I never saw myself being in one, nor did I have any desire to go. And if it wasn't for the young man that took the opportunity to sit down and share the gospel, looking back at it, I can't even imagine what he was thinking as he was sitting across at another table deciding to come talk to me. What could possibly be going through his mind? Not to mention the fact that he was a Caucasian gentleman walking up against me. At that time, I was, 5'11", 225? I was playing football at the university at the time. And the fact that he wanted to come over and just sit down and talk to me about Christ, I couldn't believe it. See, so don't get caught up in, no, if they want to know, they'll go, because that's not necessarily true. See, Jesus says, if you want to drink, come to him, right? But sometimes we have to take the water to the people. A lot of times I look at churches as lemonade stands, right? And we set up these big, pretty lemonade stands, and we say, if you want to drink, come get a drink. But sometimes we have to take the lemonade to the people. It can't always be about building another lemonade stand and waiting for people to come. We have to take the gospel to them. Are you not seeing the same things I'm looking at on the news? Are you not seeing the same things I'm hearing on the radio? They're trying to squeeze the Christian body out of our society. Are you not paying attention? Are we going to just sit back and continue to say nothing and be silent? The Holy Spirit is our guide. Christ is our foundation. There is no way we will not find success with the Holy Spirit behind us. So what does the Bible say? See, the harvest depends on speaking of God with confidence. And this is why people are dismayed and they shy away. I mean, if you go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 to 28, Jesus encourages believers not to let fear keep them from sharing God's word. See, he says it's not men people should fear or listen to, but God, who is able to plunge both body and soul into eternal fire. See, Christians are redeemed and should not fear God's wrath. However, though, watch this. They should fear God if they're not doing his work. See, the harvest depends on faithful people. Some Christians work in a harvest field full-time and others part-time. Some spend their whole day out in outreach and full-time ministry, right? But you have others who volunteer in full-time ministry and go out and do in ministry and go out and do outreach activities. But are we sharing the gospel? If you go to a homeless shelter and you sit there and you go through this whole deal and you don't share the gospel, we're wrong. Sometimes you only get one opportunity. That gentleman who approached me at the lunch table, that might have been his only shot that, for whatever reason, I was in the mood to listen. It wasn't a church. It wasn't a pastor. It was a fellow Christian. It was a Christian who was faithful, who said, I'm going to share my faith with those who are willing to listen. See, all Christians do not spend the same amount of time in the harvest field, but God will reward the workers and those who support them. Anyone who receives a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Remember that in Matthew 10? Verses 41, sometimes you only get one opportunity, saints, because people are dying daily without knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I got another one for you. Let's go to Psalms chapter 32. He says, I will instruct you and you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. See, people say, well, how do you go out and just talk to people with no fear? Because I believe the Bible. See, you had to understand, I didn't grow up in a church. So by the time Jesus was discovered, or he was revealed to me, when he revealed himself to me, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. Those of you who know me know that. And as a Jehovah's Witness, it's about a lot of rules, right, and regulations and doing things to get salvation. It was hard for me to grasp this thing called it's not by works so no man could boast. Because I'm used to going out and spending all these hours in field service and doing all these things. But see, now I do them for the love of Christ. That's the difference. The reason why I don't have any fear is because I didn't always believe all the spokesmen out there calling themselves prophets or pastors, but I did believe one thing. I did believe that the Word of God was the Word of God. And if I stayed with the foundation of Jesus Christ, it didn't matter what the denomination said, because I could read the nonsense if your foundation was not Jesus. And I'm going to pick through it, because I knew what the gospel said, read it hundreds of times. And as you get past Jesus, if Jesus is not the foundation of the church that you are a part of, you need to leave. If they are not talking about Jesus and the cross, you need to leave. You need to find a Bible-based church that will put you in a position to learn more about this man called Jesus, because it's not about saints, and it's not about what color the carpet is and what kind of this or that. It's about Jesus. And so when I read the Word and I sit here where he says, do not worry about what to say in Matthew chapter 10 or how to say it, at that time you will be given what to say. See, I trusted that. I trusted till today. So I walk up to anyone and speak about Christ, because I've done this enough to know as I start to speak, praise God, the Holy Spirit just starts putting things in my head. And it's always related to the conversation. But I know it's scary in the beginning, because you don't want to sit there and fumble around and act like, because you're leaning on what you know. No, it's not about what we know. We don't lean on our understanding. It's about Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. You have to trust the Holy Spirit, saints. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit directing us, you will fail. There's no way we as a Christian body can have any significance in this society without the Holy Spirit covering us. Today I went out and I always talk about us going out in the harvest field, right? And it says, what does the Bible say, right? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They didn't say they had to be in the church. We would go out in field service, and we have seen people, I have witnessed people crying and giving their life to Christ on their doorstep. I can get 10 doors slammed in my face, told me to get off their porch. I even had a guy one time say, stick his dog on us if we didn't get out his yard. But then you get that one lady who comes there, who's been seeking, wouldn't find her in the church, crying in one of our sister's arms, because she's been waiting for a sign from God that somebody cared enough to come to her, and she gives her life to Christ on her doorstep. You can't make this stuff up, saints. There are people out there on the other side of these doors, standing in grocery stores, waiting. They might have prayed that night before, and you walk right up, and God gives you this divine appointment, and you say, I pass. I don't feel comfortable. It's not my place. Well, then if it's not our place, then whose place is it? Oh, I know, Sister Jones, because she's real strong about the faith. Sister Jones does those sort of things, but that's not my thing, right? You have to have a calling to share the gospel. The devil is a lie. Whoever's out there saying that you need to have a calling to share the gospel, the devil is a lie. Every one of us are commissioned to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? That's in Romans chapter 10. Then on top of that, you have members of the Christian body discouraging Christians who are trying to take the word of God to the unchurched, you have to be called to do that. Or my personality is this, and me. When does it ever become just him? In October of 2007, I often talk about, I looked outside my window, all the families approaching strangers' houses for candy, right? Now, even though Halloween is something a lot of people do and they say it's about the kids, unfortunately, I didn't grow up in the church. I can't support Halloween. It's just something that I can't get my mind around. It's a contradiction to me from Christian basis, and I just don't get it. I don't see how Christians can just oversee that. Just personal. Do what you want. I'm just saying, to me, I don't get the Halloween Christian thing. But with that being said, right, I'm not going to say I didn't take my kids to go get candy. I didn't want to play that game. You know, he wanted to do the costume and all his friends at school. But inside of me, I said to myself, I told my wife, I can't do it. I just couldn't do it anymore. It got to a point where I was so uncomfortable with it. See, I remember another day right before Obama was elected, people would come to house, every house, ask you to sign up to vote, right? I remember saying, wouldn't it be nice if Christians were that eager to flood the streets going house to house with Jesus Christ? It's amazing to me how people can come to your house and you can go out and do all of this stuff for the world. We can go knock on strangers' houses for candy, right? We can go knock on people's houses and try to get them to vote. We can go knock on people's houses to sell Girl Scout cookies. But we can't go knock on people's doors for Jesus. Huh. Because the fear of rejection is stronger, right? Is that the reason? See, growing up in a Jehovah's Witness household and affiliated with them all the way up until I went to college, a college ministry changed my life forever. So I know all too well the power of house-to-house preaching because my mother wasn't a Christian. But if a person come with the right message and if it sounds good, but think about it. How much more could we achieve with the power of the Holy Spirit with us? See, my calling is to go outside the church walls and reach people in their homes. And in times such as these, we can no longer wait for that occasional conversation to happen with a church pastor, because church pastors cannot do this alone. Jesus said that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. You have to look at what he just said. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, if you want. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Saints, you cannot go out without a plan. You have to be prepared. The worst thing a saint could do is fumble around, not sure what to say and how to say it, and try to keep a conversation on the relationship with Jesus. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the speaking for you. You have to get to a point where you trust him, that he's there in you. You know, look, if you are Satan, I mean, if you got Satan, he doesn't want you to have connection with the Holy Spirit. Right? He would prefer you to lean on your own understanding. You have to have the Holy Spirit, right? You know, if you're a Christian saved by grace, then the Holy Spirit should be the one that helps you handle those rebuttals and the negative feedback that can end the conversation quickly, right? Put yourself again in a position to take the next step. Could you imagine having more Christians going out and going out in the packs that you see during the Halloween season? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine Christian different churches coming together, taking over a neighborhood? Imagine an outpouring of unity so big that hundreds of new believers are suddenly and enthusiastically looking for a church to call home, a church like yours. For every church that does this, right, imagine the impact in that community. Could you imagine churches getting together and making a decision that we're going to go out and share the gospel in 2016? It's not about denominations. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's always been about him. share the gospel of Jesus Christ in 2016. Your New Year's resolution is that I'm going to share the gospel with everyone, and I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to direct my conversation. Do you trust him? Do you trust him enough to allow him to be the voice box for you? I mean, do you be the voice box for him? To allow him to speak through you to others? Take the time, if you are a church, to host such a thing. Invite other churches in the community. Say, hey, call it whatever you want, revival, community united, whatever you want to call it. But when you look at all the churches in our community, you very seldom see fellowship outside of church walls. Yeah, you might get a couple of gospel choirs come together and they visit each other's churches, and I get that. But again, that's just churches hugging, Christians hugging Christians. When are we going to take it outside? Could you imagine the unity it would show to non-believers to see Christians at different churches coming out to reach out to them about Christ? Hey, you can have T-shirts. This T-shirt is gold. This is Baptist, blah, blah, blah. And this one over here is such and such, non-denominational. But at the end of the day, you say, well, we got different doctrines. This is not about doctrines. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, it's the foundation Jesus Christ is Lord. Because if that's your foundation, then all that other stuff above it is just fluff to me. Because it's about Jesus Christ. It's not about whether or not women can wear pants or not wear pants or should wear wig makeup or not, or I should wear a tie. I remember getting into a debate with someone about wearing a suit to church. And I thought to myself, you do realize that suits and ties have only been around since X, right? You do know that the development of pants only been invented since. So when you get into all this what you should and should not do, at the end of the day, it should be about Jesus Christ, right? I talk about how sometimes you have a person can be going to church so long that we forget when we started. How was it when we started, right? When you didn't know Christ. And you was bushy-eyed and big-eyed, and you came into the church for the first time. And you got those who grew up in the church. But even if you grew up in the church, it still comes a crossroad where you have to decide, right? Am I going to be a fan of Christ, or am I going to be a follower? Praise God. Am I going to continue to be a fan, or am I going to follow Christ? Remember my story about Walter Payton. I'm a huge Walter Payton fan. Been a huge Walter Payton fan since I was an infant. As long as I started learning about football and watching how he played, I wanted to be just like him. And I had his posters, and I had everything about Walter Payton. But if I bumped into him in a restaurant before he passed, rest in peace, he would have never knew who I was. Why? Because I didn't have a personal relationship with him. I might have had all the Walter Payton trinkets. How many of us have Jesus Christ trinkets? We had crosses around our neck. Hey, and when I was a fan of Christ, at a point in time, I got a cross tattooed on my shoulder. Because it was about showing everybody I was a Christian. And I got the Christian fish on the back of my car. How many of us got all the Christian trinkets? But do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Jesus says, my people know my voice. Do you spend enough time with him that he knows your voice and you know his? So when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you can hear him. Or is the volume turned down low? So when you speak to people about Christ, turn the volume up. Turn it up. Listen to what the Holy Spirit would tell you. It would change your life. Happy New Year to everyone out there. In 2016, saints, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that be your New Year's resolution. Until next time, I'm your host, Dwayne Bradsfield. This is Holy Living Nutrition. God bless. See you next week.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Jo on the mic. B-Flat on the track. I could've
rich boy, work boy. Some call him Jira, cause he's a provider. Some call him best friend because he's a rider. He's on the inside of me. One God and the Holy Trinity. That's what I say. Some call him Papa, some call him God. Whatever you're, he's my star. Choked up when I think about an innocent man dying. But because of that